You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us and be here each time and tell your friends about us. Well, I'm sure by now you have heard the news that the founder of the James Dobson Family Institute, Dr. James Dobson, has gone on to be with the Lord. All of us at JDFI are, of course, in mourning and in prayer about his passing as we've come along, Shirley and Dr. Dobson's family at this difficult time. On the other hand, being believers, there's joy in knowing that Dr. Dobson has already heard the words that all of us want to hear someday, standing before the throne, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Dr. Dobson founded JDFI 15 years ago and has led it during those years. But of course, he's been in this battle to defend faith, family, and freedom for decades. And he and I have periodically worked together over those decades, just as we have worked together the last couple of years at JDFI. Less than a week after Dr. Dobson went on to be with the Lord, there was an horrific attack on children worshiping at a Catholic church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I immediately thought to myself, wow, when Dr. Dobson hears this, I know he'll say exactly the right things. I wonder what his analysis, and then of course I stopped myself because we were not in a position where we would hear what Dr. Dobson thought. But I've been with him so many years, I believe I know exactly how he would have reacted, because there have been similar events over the decades, and Dr. Dobson always reminded us during these evil events that the war we are in is a spiritual war. Oh, it's fought out in all kinds of places, in the popular culture, in politics, but at the end of the day, it is a spiritual war between the people of God and the forces of Satan. Now, Dr. Dobson and I have been explaining for years, we did it in the book, Children at Risk, that the battle raging in America is a battle between, broadly speaking, those who believe that God is, and on the other side, those who believe that God isn't. And for those of us that believe God is, that requires us to take certain positions on a whole host of issues. We can't be consistent with believing God is and then turn around and support abortion, for example. And by the same token, those that broadly speaking believe there is no God, that we're just the result of some billions of years of evolution, they too are required to take the positions that they do. Well, on the morning of this terrible event, what were the people that believe God is? What were they doing? Now, I wasn't there in person, but we can pretty well guess what they were doing. Being Christians, we know how we begin the day, particularly the beginning of a school day. It was the first week of the academic year at this Catholic school. God-loving mothers and fathers were rushing around to get their kids out of bed and out the door on time. Many, I'm sure, had a hurried breakfast that hopefully they prayed over. And then probably in most cases, parents drove their kids to school. They knew there would be an all-school mass at the start of the day. That's how the school year was started. Now, while this worship service was going on and beginning, Robert Westman, a man infected with transgender ideology, was walking toward that church and the connected Catholic school. But he was going there not to worship. He was going there to do Satan's work. In the church, the students were being read verses by one of the teachers from the pulpit from Psalm 139, where David writes that even if David wanted to get away from God, he couldn't get away from God, that God is everywhere he goes. The verses read like this: "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." At that very moment, they were hearing those verses. Darkness and the embodiment of this shooter was just yards away from the innocent children. Heavily armed, Westman stood outside of the church and began shooting a fusillade of bullets through the stained glass windows. The church was the Annunciation Catholic Church. Annunciation, based on the Latin root, means announcement. The announcement it refers to is the most important announcement that's ever been made in the entire history of human beings on planet Earth. It is the announcement that the Archangel Gabriel made when he appeared before Mary and said to her, as is described in the first chapter of Luke, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the most important announcement. This is the announcement that splits history in half from between before Christ and after Christ's death eventually. On the other hand, Satan's soldier, Westman, well, he had spent months doing target practice. You want to guess what he used as the target he tried to hit? It was an image of Jesus Christ. Look, it's a lie when the media says that Westman hated everybody. There wasn't any theme here. There wasn't anything to see here. This guy was just a hater. No, he didn't hate everybody. He hated Christians and Jews. I'm not aware of any other faith being mentioned than Christianity and Judaism. He wrote that 6 million dead Jews in the Holocaust wasn't enough. Well, you know, this is nothing new, right? Unfortunately, we've seen this explosion of anti-Semitism all over Europe and the United States in the last couple of years. We've seen mobs marching in the streets chanting death to the Jews. We've seen powerful people, university presidents, elected officials, big shot movie stars defending anti-Semitism, defending the call for another Holocaust. Something's been unleashed in the country, and we've seen it many, many times. And this son of Satan, this warrior for Satan, was infected with it. Well, what explains his hatred for Jews? What explains the hatred for Jews we're seeing all over the United States? Well, you could go back to the verses in Luke. It was through the Jews that God brought into the world our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ defeats Satan at the cross. If you look at the last century, the 20th century, all godless forces from communism to Nazism always hate Christians and Jews. Westman also wrote on his weapons, "Kill Donald Trump." Well, that's not hard to understand either. President Trump has aggressively defended religious liberty and has spoken eloquently against anti-Semitism. President Trump is going after universities that tolerated the anti-Semitism. The president has said publicly that he believes he turned his head in Butler, Pennsylvania at the exact right moment to avoid being killed because God told him to move his head, thwarting the goals of another man, no doubt inspired by Satan. This killer in Minneapolis kept a journal. One of the things he wrote was, "I really want to shoot down the rows of pews that all the kids thinking they can hide laugh out loud. They're going to be trapped in those pews, easy targets, waiting ducks. I also love when kids get shot. I love to see kids get torn apart." Do you have any doubt those words are direct from hell? This is a script written by Satan himself. His description of kids being torn apart, by the way, the first thing I thought about was it's a pretty accurate description of what a late-term abortion is. It's done by dismemberment. The child is literally torn apart. Then they count the legs and the arms and the hands and the toes and the feet. Christians and God love babies. Satan hates babies because every baby is made in the image of God. Satan loves dead babies. Satan loves abortion. Westman wrote on one of his magazines that hold the bullets, "Where is your God? He was mocking the children he would soon try to kill on the orders of Satan. He was claiming God could do nothing about it." By the way, does it ring a bell? Where is your God? Well, that's exactly what the mockers said at the foot of the cross. Where's your God now? If you have this God that's so powerful, where is he? Why isn't he saving you? They said, mocking Christ. My friends, again, don't miss what this is. It is the absolute proof, as if we needed any, that we are in the middle of spiritual warfare. But look, the spiritual warfare just doesn't take place around a church, around an incident like this. It permeates everything. It's in our popular culture, this spiritual warfare. And yes, it's in our politics too. Within a few hours of the killer mocking the students with the words, "Where is your God?" far-left progressive politicians were also mocking prayer, just like the killer did. These politicians literally attacked prayer and suggested prayer was useless, beside the point, of no impact. Now, look, if they were completely honest, they would probably tell you they think the prayers are useless because there's nobody the prayers are going to. In many cases, these are people that reject God himself. Children were still being treated, given blood transfusions, probably getting stitches, getting all kinds of IVs, etc. They were still going through that, the wounded that survived in the hospital, when the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, said, "Don't just say this is about thoughts and prayers right now. These kids were literally praying. It was the first week of school. They were in a church." Don't miss the tone. Don't say something useless. That's what he was saying. Don't be talking about prayers. How can that change anything? The mayor was angry that those children and their parents and you and us at JDFI and all followers of Jesus Christ believe prayer matters. Leftist politicians and the transgender killer himself were mocking the Christians inside the church, the Christian parents outside the church. And it wasn't just the mayor of Minneapolis. It was also Governor Walz of Minnesota, who was Kamala Harris's vice presidential running mate. Governor Walz, by the way, has quite a history when it comes to the transgender issue. Talk about lies. Governor Walz put female sanitary implements in the boys' bathrooms, tampons. Because, as the governor explained to anybody that wanted to listen, well, boys have periods too. If this wasn't so ridiculous, it would be laughable. And it wasn't just Governor Walz, who, by the way, could be the vice president of the United States right now if the election last year had gone a different way. Also jumping on prayer was Governor Newsom of California, the man who has a good chance of being the Democrat presidential nominee in 2028. Newsom posted on X, quote, "These children were literally praying as they got shot at." Yeah, he too was mocking prayer because the prayers didn't stop the killer. Former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki wrote on social media, and I wish maybe I should have actually played the quote. The anger in her voice is just over the top. This is what she said. "Prayer is not freaking enough. Prayer does not end school shootings. Prayer does not bring these kids back. Enough with the thoughts and prayers." Again, what a revealing moment. Seldom do we see so directly the hatred of elected leftists to basic Christian theology. Prayer is not a magic bottle that we can rub and a genie will give us three wishes. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. We pray to thank God for his blessings. We pray to ask for his guidance and help. We pray to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. We pray when we are hurting because it gives us strength to deal with the inevitable suffering of a fallen world. We pray because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray because God tells us to pray. Dr. Dobson wrote a book just about this issue, this tendency of people to mock our prayers when tragedy happens. And the book explains how we can answer these mockers. It's entitled, "When God Doesn't Make Sense." But God and our prayers, as Dr. Dobson said his entire life, always make sense. Dr. Dobson sounded the alarm for decades that powerful forces in our country are at war with our Judeo-Christian heritage. They want to isolate us, demonize us, and silence us. In Hollywood, they produce movies that mock us. In Washington, they regularly pass laws and regulations that restrict our religious liberty. Thank God the Trump administration is rolling that back and fighting for our First Amendment rights. Finally, in spite of the mockers, we know God was there with those children, even in this tragedy, because he's always with us, no matter what we're facing. And his presence wasn't just a passive presence either. Now think about this a second. Nobody in the church had a weapon. That's unfortunate, by the way. Religious leaders in the state of Minnesota just a couple of years ago wrote a letter to Governor Walz asking him to provide security at religious schools in the state of Minnesota, evangelical schools, Christian schools, Jewish schools, etc., because there were growing threats being leveled against them. And Governor Walz ignored their letter and turned down their request. So because there was nobody to protect the children that morning, people died. As of now, two children have been tragically murdered, 10-year-old Harper Moiski and 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel, and we are praying for their families. Others are still in the hospital. But by any rational calculus, the death toll would have been much greater. A building filled with unarmed children and a few adults, a man with three weapons and thousands of rounds of bullets. And tragically, two children died. But hundreds were spared. Of course, many politicians in the media, in addition to everything else, don't want to talk about the killer's transgender identity. He is, sadly, just the latest in a string of transgender shooters who have attacked churches and schools. By the way, the mayor of Minneapolis warned people, don't use this incident to blame transgender ideology. Previously, the mayor had declared Minneapolis to be a transgender sanctuary city. Governor Walz and the state legislature had declared the state of Minnesota to be a transgender sanctuary state. Gee, maybe they might want to think about passing a resolution declaring Minneapolis and Minnesota a Christian sanctuary city and state. Maybe that would help people not kill us because of feckless politicians that don't provide any protection for us. People suffering from gender dysphoria are sick. They need serious psychological help. But they're being exploited, and in many cases, they're being taught to hate Christians. It's not compassionate to indulge their delusions. It is not compassionate to pump them full of hormones or mutilate their bodies in the vain belief they can change their sex. Well, with your help, JDFI will continue Dr. Dobson's legacy, and we will do everything we can to defend religious liberty, protect our liberty, protect our children, and defend faith, family, and freedom. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.